And that's our man in the booth, Booth Man.
Placement Booth Man.
Booth Man. Thank you. I can't believe so many people came out to
welcome
me.
Yes, indeed. It's the fabled Alex Marin.
This is really exciting. This is really great. Thank you guys so much for keeping the show going while I was gone.
See, don't thank us.
No,
we
I really appreciate
no,
you keeping
didn't,
my
no,
show.
No, no, stop, no, no.
Hey, I wanted to thank you for keeping my seat warm, kid. appreciate it.
This
Very British, exciting. You guys.
This is the British Pence.
You guys can go now if you
real
want.
Real nice guy. Okay. Finally dismissed. Well, good luck.
We'll see you guys in the bar.
It's very nice to be back.
Yeah, we Woo. Miss you, buddy.
Show us the ring.
Yeah, show us the new shiny bling.
Huh? This means
somebody loves him.
This means that I can only date on the slide.
It's more fun. Actually, I don't think that's what that means.
We'll talk about it in a month.
Okay. Yeah, we will.
Yay!
We certainly will.
Welcome, please sit down. Yeah, I am very excited about the show tonight. We have a great guest for you guys. Let's welcome out, ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Wang!
Yeah!
Welcome.
You're very talented, and I think you're going to make it someday.
Thanks, big time.
Jordan, thank you so much for coming on the show. Let's talk about Age of Century, which is coming out tomorrow.
The Age of the Century.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ooh. He's a little rusty.
He's a little rusty. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's all right.
I'm sorry. I've been in France and in France.
Had you been here, they would have been talking about it the last 2 weeks nonstop.
Right. In France, they talk about Age of Century.
Yeah. But no, it'd be Le Age.
You guys must have really done well over there.
Yeah,
that's
I went into a comic book store and I'm like, excuse me, do you have Teen Tat, huh?
And yeah. You put a cigarette out here.
A couple of times. So let's talk about the Age of the Century.
Yes, it's a book that is coming out tomorrow, the first issue. It is the best book ever done.
Wow, that's a hell of a statement.
And you are assistant editor.
I am assistant editing on the book, and I love it more than any comic I've ever worked on ever.
Well, what
it's
is
fun.
So great about it?
Well, what's so great about it is basically there's this character. For those of you who don't know, the Sentry is a character who Paul Jenkins made him up, and the idea was that he was a character that was created in the '60s, but nobody remembers him. But he remembers that he had all these adventures throughout from the '60s all the way through to now. But nobody else remembers that. They've all been brainwashed to forget. Well, we were like, well, those flashback scenes were always my favorite part of that series. Those are such a blast. Let's just do that. And so we decided, let's do a 6-issue series. It's just 60s Century comics. And they are. We got Jeff Parker to write the main story in every issue, and then we got Paul Tobin to write a backup story in the first 5 issues, and they are just knocking it out of the park. They are creating the most wonderful Silver Age goodness for the Century that I've ever read.
And this was generated from kind of your idea.
Yeah, basically I was just, we were at a retreat and I was just like, the Century is fun. Why can't we do more fun things with him? And my first idea was we should do an essential Century book, but then we sort of realized, we're probably not going to sit around and generate like 200 something pages of art before we put out a book, so probably not the best idea.
Well, how many issues is it going to be total?
It's 6 issues.
Okay. And I assume the idea is this does well enough that it launches a whole Century of the 50s, Century of the 70s.
Sure. Yeah. We would do, please buy it and tell your friends, and we would be happy to do any decade that people want to see.
The radio station.
Which decade, at which point do you think you'll start doing funny schizophrenia stuff?
Like wacky, horrible disease stuff?
It depends on how you... I would say they've got that pretty well covered.
Okay.
See, I would say the one where he goes dark, where he goes evil, would have to be called The Turn of the Century.
Ooh. Wow, good night.
Oh.
Nice.
Now,
it's brilliant.
For those who don't know, Century is like Marvel's answer to Superman.
He's a lot... No way, man. He's a lot like Superman, sure. I'll go there. Yeah, sure. All right.
I don't like that comparison because the Sentry as a character is so much more interesting.
He flies, he's indestructible, and he's wearing like.
He's going to last longer than Superman, too.
Maybe his powers are mildly similar, but the whole story is so different.
I'm just saying, like, as a. The way he fights crime and does all that. He's like.
I think the point that Pete's bringing up that a lot of people bring up is most of the Marvel heroes are flawed in some way. That, you know, they have some very specific weakness that isn't a fantastical weakness like Kryptonite or something like that. Sentry is this hero that is so powerful that he almost doesn't feel like he fits in the Marvel Universe.
Until you make him schizophrenic.
Yes.
So his weakness is his mind.
Yeah, exactly.
It actually says that
on the cover of our comic, even though, because we're not, again, the way we're looking at the schizophrenia issue is that we're saying that's a retcon that they did in the dark comics of the 2000s. Back in the 60s, innocent days, we weren't writing about crazy people. We were writing about good, wholesome comics. But on the cover, there was slightly a reference to it because it says something like, the power of a million exploding suns, limited only by the power of his own mind or something like that. And it's like, a little bit because he goes crazy. Okay.
There's a very interesting tone to the book, I think, in terms of it's these fun stories, but at the same time, it's poking fun at them at the same time.
Yeah, we tried to do kind of a thing where, we're not making fun of Silver Age comics because we love Silver Age comics. We think they're, I don't want to say the best comics, but they're really terrific. If we were to not say this was kind of a Silver Age homage kind of interesting comic and just put out these stories, people would go,
"You're lying.
What's wrong with you? This is insane." but because the comics are insane back then.
You sound insane.
But speaking of tone, when you do the old-timey voice with that mustache, very good.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. We're going to do a Sentry comic, and it's going to be the best comic ever done.
Yeah! That makes sense. That makes sense.
Will it cure my baldness?
It can cure anything. You just gotta rub it, apply it directly to scalp.
And if that didn't convince you, there's a really cute puppy in it.
There is a puppy, the watchdog. Oh, Sentry's watchdog, who has the same powers as him, flies around after him, licks his face.
We have another guest.
Yeah. Oh, we have another guest, Matt Dominick!
Yeah!
Fresh from his business, obviously.
Excuse me!
From California.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. It's great. It's like a treehouse.
Yeah.
We're gonna have 50 or 60 more people just sort of cycling.
No girls allowed, though, right?
Yeah, totally. Boo.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I work on Age of Sentries coming out next week, and it's the best book ever. But I do work on a bunch of books. I work on Scar.
Yeah,
Paul,
you're married.
They're having a separate show.
Work in the crowd a little bit.
This is not a stand-up
show. We'll see about that. So.
What went on right the past 2 weeks?
You wouldn't believe it.
Don't tell.
So anyways, you were saying?
I was just saying I work on a bunch of other books. I work on Scar, Son of Hulk, which is great. We had Greg Pak was in the office today. We were planning out what's going to happen for the next bunch of issues, and it's really going to get awesome. It's already awesome. It's going to get even awesomer.
Wow. How far ahead do you have it planned at this point?
We were talking about like tentative plans up through like 24, but we'll see if that, you know, if they all stay that
2024.
Yeah, 2024. It's going to be great.
Big year for Scar.
So can you give us any like teases of things that might be coming down the pipeline? Like, we already know that you've destroyed Spider-Man. Do you have anything else that maybe is coming out?
I don't work on Spider-Man.
Yeah, no.
Which is probably, not including Age of the Sentry, my favorite book Marvel's publishing right now. So, sorry.
Well, we're going to talk a little more about
we'll
that.
We'll arm wrestle that out,
maybe.
Okay, yeah.
But also, I do want to also plug, though, I don't remember if it came out last week. I think last week was Big Hero 6 number 1, which is a really fun series.
It's a fun comic.
It's a fun comic. I think it's
great. Let Pete talk.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I was agreeing. He had a lot to do with Big Hero. He was agreeing with you as you were agreeing with as you were saying.
I think it was
fantastic.
Fun.
Yes.
So pick all of us up. Matt, very briefly, what's what's going on with you?
Well, I do a lot of improv comedy here at the People's Improv Theater.
Oh, how's that going?
So I perform on Wednesdays, if that's what people care about. I'm leaving town soon, so. I'm doing improv here for a while, and I'm okay at it, so you should catch me before I leave.
Where are you going?
I'm moving to Los Angeles in November.
Oh, boo!
Boo, yeah. Sad. Boo. Very sad.
Very sad.
But
very sad.
Congratulations, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
My girlfriend worked for Lehman Brothers, so we're out of here.
Oh.
Not true.
Quit.
She's another actress.
The new financial hub.
I didn't realize I would lay such a heavy tone on the comic book audience.
Yes.
The financial district.
Well, they just killed off the Lehman Brothers in the latest issue of Secret Invasion. And that's a good transition to our first section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah! Yay!
Let's talk about Secret Invasion number 6. Now, remind me, this came out this past week, right?
Don't be a dick.
Because I don't think anything happened.
Wow. Right. That's true.
How can you say that?
Well, you're right. Okay, they went from, I've been complaining a lot, because
most
of Secret Invasion is taking place in Times Square.
Yeah.
They went up 17 blocks to Central Park, and now they're in Central Park.
Which,
right.
Given
so
the
exactly.
traffic situation, is hard traffic.
Yeah, they didn't even take the subway. Or
that's like a $40 cab ride.
Yeah. All these spiders, like no pockets.
Yeah. No, you're right. Okay, a lot more out of that.
But, I like the old dying kind of monologue that Captain Marvel gave. I thought that was pretty good.
spoiler?
Yeah, spoiler. Thank
well,
you.
And plus
Thank
it
you.
Was a Skrull Captain Marvel.
But it, he had a lot
wow.
of... It was some good stuff that was said.
Right.
Okay,
all right.
Okay, so since we've already put out there that the new Captain Marvel, they brought Captain Marvel back from the dead. A landmark story for those of you who don't know.
During Civil War.
Yeah, Captain Marvel originally died of cancer. It was a big thing. They bring him back through this time bubble thing or whatever. Turns out he's actually a Skrull who thinks he's Captain Marvel. Brian Reed wrote a very complex, layered series setting up
awesome.
This character
awesome.
So that he's very conflicted. He feels like a hero, but he knows he's a villain.
Not to mention, Skrulls and Kree are like arch enemies.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So very, very conflicted, very classic, I think, Marvel character setup.
Oh, great.
This issue, he dies in one page.
Out of nowhere.
Absolutely, he's like, oh, I hit a plane. Dead.
Yeah. And he said something to Marvel Boy, another
exactly.
character.
Exactly. Talks to
yeah, I liked it.
It's just,
touching.
You're going to spend all of this time resetting up this character in a new and interesting way, and then kill him in one page.
Great
so
idea.
That you can set up Marvel Boy.
Yeah.
You
who's
like
been
Marvel
gone
Boy?
From, for like, what,
I'm
8
totally
years?
I'm totally fine with Marvel Boy. It's just like...
That was a great series. Grant Morrison series?
Yeah, but that was like, that character hasn't
been
around.
It was a while ago. You're right. It was a while back.
And that's just a weird setup. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I also
agree.
I think
it's fun to do stuff that you don't expect. Like, obviously with that big bring back and a lot of stuff, you think, oh man, this is, they're going to set something up. But they're like, nope. You don't know what we're doing.
True.
We got stuff going on you don't know about.
You guys are dwelling on the actual Captain Marvel coming back, which didn't happen. A Skrull came back.
He's right.
He doesn't even deserve a fucking whole page. There's a half a page of Dirty Skrull.
Dirty Skrull.
he did come out of nowhere with that.
He calls him a Dirty Skrull.
Dirty Skrull.
Damn Dirty Skrull! I love it. Godly's been here 2 seconds.
Well, let's talk about this as well.
It also has the entry of Captain, the new Captain America, and the returned Thor back into the...
Okay, here's what I think.
Seems like a lot of things are happening in this comic.
My biggest problem with this comic is, I think it not Bendis' writing, which is fine, but there's not a lot going on. I think it's Lynell Yu's art, which I really like a lot in general, but I feel like you get a scene where you have Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man together for the first time in years at this point, yelling Avengers Assemble. I should be like, yeah, let's do this, bring it on. It felt entirely underwhelming.
Those giant two-page spreads at the end were underwhelming?
Yeah, underwhelming.
I thought they were nice, but here's the thing.
How was Captain America back? Oh, wait.
It's a different guy.
Okay.
Different dude.
Boring.
His comic is really interesting, but whatever.
All right,
back
in then.
So the end.
He He's not a Skrull.
You are an Amalgamator.
He's not a Skrull. No,
good.
You need a fucking asshole Skrull. what I think is weird is this whole series, the pace has been so herky-jerky.
Yes.
It was fast, and then the last three issues have been so slow and drawn out. And then the last issue had, like, still fighting in Times Square, and now this it jumps to the Skrulls have invaded everywhere and are in charge, and the heroes are like, oh, shit, we've blown this.
There was a part where they show all the different... I mean, they showed clips from all the other series, right?
Yes. I agree with you about the timeline, though. Based on the timeline that they're presenting in this series and the other series, this is happening probably over the course of, what, 2 days?
If
maybe?
That, yeah.
If that, if not, over
a lot of
hours.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be human beings have gone from... Oh my God, we're being invaded! To yes, praise our Skrull bastard.
To be fair, Don, of the people here, Donnelly's the only one that said, "Damn dirty Skrulls." Like,
no,
if the Skrulls were here right now, who knows? Maybe we'd be like, finally.
I can't
you know, in the Bible,
that.
Moses went up to like carve tablets, and he came down there already like worshiping a golden god. So it's within us.
Yeah. Hey, we react pretty fast.
That Bible you're talking about, was that a comic?
Yeah, at least the one I read was.
Would you guys say pick this up?
Yes.
Yeah. You probably are.
That's, I think, all you need to know. Let's move on and talk about Final Crisis Revelations number 2. What'd you guys think about this issue?
I love the characters. The issue I thought was really confusing a little. The
can't
first half.
Can't flip through it because of the stupid.
Yeah, what's
yeah,
that?
Well, join the Navy and you can take that out of your...
By taking this out of comic
I can't
agree,
if that falls into a mailbox with your name on it, or fingerprints, you're in the Navy.
Assistant editors in the Navy.
Yeah. maybe you shouldn't be in the Navy. I don't know how much editing goes on. This issue features Renee Montoya as a question and Christmas Allen as a Spectre. I'm like, finally, they're reunited. But it's all angry, and then...
So would you say reunited, but it doesn't feel so good?
Exactly! Oh, you're doing a lot of cheerleading.
Go, Alex, go! Yay!
I missed a halftime dance later. It's going to be very exciting.
Wait for halftime. I missed the screaming in my ear so close. The precious distance I had last time.
Go, Alex!
Okay. And it seems weird. The Spectre is this god spirit of vengeance. And he's like, you need to be punished, the question. And she's like, I'm just faking. She's been leading the crime Bible bad guys. And she's like, oh, I'm just leading them. And then all of a sudden, another spirit of God, the spirit of mercy, shows up. And she's like, don't worry, vengeance. I got this one. And it's like, it's all confusing with, like, so what's God? Where's the God in this? Who's running?
I don't know. It's
shit.
One of those things that I think comics does a lot where they introduce the concept of God, but they can't actually really show God because then that's embracing some sort of religion. So they can have the spirit of mercy and spirit of vengeance, but it's this vague God that is not actually God where we can't actually talk about that, but we're going to talk about it. So it has to walk this very difficult line, I think, most of the time. I would say that I really like the art in this issue a lot. And it was the plotting of it is very surprising to me because with the first issue, it was called Final Crisis Revelations. I thought, okay, totally cool. It's a Question Spectre series. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm on board for this.
Definitely.
This is very clearly tying into the timeline of Final Crisis, which was very surprising to me.
Well, and plus, an anti-life equation shows up. And still,
Am
I crazy?
I'm sorry. I understand the whole Kirby thing is really cool and everything, but it's really silly because it's like misery minus happiness plus pain minus candy plus. It's just literally, I'm not even exaggerating, this is what the anti-life equation is just
words.
A bunch of words that people say out loud. But they say them.
Yeah, I took
and
math.
That's magic.
And that's not math.
Who's this character with no face and big tits?
That's the question.
Okay.
It used to be a guy.
She's called
now...
she's called the perfect woman. Is that what she was? I was going to say. I can't. Two ladies.
I was going to say something similar, but like that. But more like it was born out of like the male intellect. Where like if you have tits like that,
you don't need no face.
But I feel like that's where it comes from.
Yeah, the question used to be a guy, but then they killed him off. I'm like, I know, we'll bring him back as a hot lady. That'll be awesome.
Just to mention, before the show, you were like, you read this book, and you said, how long has the question been a woman?
No, I believe he said, how long has the answer been a woman?
Yeah. And then we pointed out, and you were like, Pete, you read the first issue of this series, and you're like,
yep.
And we're like, and you read the miniseries that happened before this, and you're like,
yeah.
And we're like, and you read 52, which was 52 issues
right.
of this.
So my question was, how long?
About 2 years.
Thank you.
Nice.
All right. There was one thing I really liked. I liked the character bit about why the Spectre gets... I don't want to spoil it for people if they want to read it. Why the Spectre gets so upset about the Spirit of Mercy showing up. But at the same time, I was kind of like... I appreciate that because I read a zillion freaking comics of DC, and I remember when he's the thing he's upset about from some random comic from like 2 years ago. But I feel like most people who pick this up, especially since it's a Final Crisis tie-in, are going to be like, okay.
And that's the problem with DC books across the board right now. Is it's all, they reference back to very specific things that most people don't.
That being said, I do think this is well done. Greg Braca does a great job. Would you guys say pick it up?
No, it blows.
I like it. I like the characters. It's just the Final Crisis stuff that kind of gets in the way.
Cool. Let's move on and talk about Amazing Spider-Man number 571. Pete, you love this issue.
Oh, no. That's the thing. It's good. What I liked about it is we're dealing with villains of Spider-Man, and there's no reference to the past, which I enjoy. And what I liked about it is I was like, oh shit, spoiler. Villain stumbles across Spider-Man's camera taking pictures of the action, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh shit, the villain, you know, usually when you see stuff like that and it's like, oh, he could put together Peter Parker, you know, and they never do. But in this comic, they do. They were like, oh, obviously, Peter Parker's fucking Spider-Man.
No,
they actually, didn't. Okay, so here's the thing, they didn't do that.
Yes, they did.
All right, wait. They find Peter Parker / Spider-Man's camera.
Right, I established that.
Right, that was taken
right, back. Right, I established
they take it back.
Right.
They see the pictures of Spider-Man, and they're like, oh my God, those pictures that Peter Parker has been taking of Spider-Man, he hasn't been taking them at all. Spider-Man has been taking them, and Peter Parker is a front for Spider-Man.
Exactly, that's what they say.
So what Norman Osborn, a super smart guy, deduced by the fact...
Well, then I hate this fucking comic. It's gross. I thought they were actually being smart. I thought they were actually being smart about it.
No,
being
Norman
like,
Osborn figures out the stupidest possible thing you can figure out.
That's retarded. That is ridiculous.
This is not... I remember, like, the Punisher did that. I remember an issue where the Punisher breaks into Peter Parker's house and is like, I know you're just, like, friends with Spider-Man, and he talks to you once in a while and tips you off, because I know you're always where he is. Nobody ever figures out that they're the same guy. They always just go, there's some sort of connection.
Well, then don't bring up the... Yeah, don't bring
some sort of connection.
Yeah, but he's just like a little nerd. How could he be Spider-Man?
Exactly.
Hey guys, I'm Spider-Man now.
Go.
Nah. Wow.
well, can I see that hand gesture again? Oh, okay. I thought you were like,
you also need to make that...
It doesn't work. Good luck flogging that.
Would you say pick it up?
I'm not big on this. I don't know. The anti-venom thing is... I want more from it. It just seems like another guy to throw
in. I mean,
it
was exciting when you thought maybe Spider-Man wasn't going to have his powers, that anti-venom sucked it out of him.
It's weird to me for the amount that they're building this up and the amount that I like John Romita Jr. and Dan Slott's work, that this is a totally fine arc. There's nothing spectacular about it. There's nothing terrible about it. It's just like, yeah, this is an okay
story. Yeah, I thought it was going to be bad about it. I thought it was going to be bad.
Wonder Woman, number 24. You guys really like this. What's going on there?
It's
Gail
way...
Simone's getting back on track. I feel like it got her last arc got a little weird, but this one really right back to where she left off. Some really fun stuff with Wonder Woman's boyfriend meeting her mom. That was awesome.
It's great. Very fun. Gorillas. Love the gorillas hanging out. Having briefcases.
Wonder Woman goes checks out a movie set. They're making a movie of Wonder Woman. And, of course, it's particularly bad. is what she finds out. Yeah. And then the movie studio exec turns out to be a villain who is attacking her in some way.
Psychically, it seems.
Yes. Now, here's my biggest problem with the issue, is generally I really like the first half a lot, the part about her
that was awesome.
Taking her boyfriend back to meet her mom. Yeah. Very good, takes up most of the issue. Movie stuff, totally fine, totally funny. When the villain shows up, I was like, I don't know what's going on here or who this person is or what their motivation is.
Some sort of honeymoon fly.
Yeah, honeymoon fly. I'm made out of fruit now. Turn the last page and it says, next issue for the next issue is like, the Queen of Fables ramps up her attack against Wonder Woman. I'm like, I don't know who the Queen of Fables is.
By the next issue.
Oh!
See what they did there?
Nice. The only part that took me out of this a little bit was that I was sitting there going, at the beginning, I was enjoying it as well, but I was sort of like, wait, what's the status of the Amazons? What's, because there's just been so much craziness and confusing, yeah, contradictory stuff with
they're
that.
Gone, right? They're not,
yeah, that's what, yeah, I was saying, but why is she there as the queen? Yeah. And like, didn't they have all these women that took the Amazons' place, but were they really Amazons, or were they just women who were like, we'd like to be Amazon? I don't know what the deal is with the Amazons. That's
but the gorilla was like, I have a shoe in my briefcase.
That was funny. That was a funny moment.
That's all you do. Forget about all that other stuff.
We're, yeah, not really selling this, but this
is a depiction of, yeah, California. Yeah. These girls are way too fat.
Oh, wow!
You are,
and they have faces, right?
Yeah, and they.
No, you're going to California.
Well, that's the thing. He's saying, oh, I'm out of New York. I can make as many.
No, no, no. He dropped it. He's lost privilege.
Maybe I'll take one.
Let's move on. Talk about King Size Cable. Nice catch. King Size Cable number one. What'd you think about this issue?
This was fantastic. This was my favorite issue of the week. The Cable series has been really the sparse. If you haven't been reading it, Cable's going into the future with the...
he's babysitting.
Yeah, that bothers Pete. He's saving the life of the baby that's the big baby, the only mutant that was born after the M-Day thing. And Bishop's tracing him, trying to kill the baby, and he can only teleport, time travel, forward in the future. And it's great. In this issue, you finally get to see it played out. There's all this booby trapping going on, and it's just finally a great issue.
Yeah, I love this series, actually. I've really enjoyed it so much, and the sparseness of the issues before this, I think, normally I like something, you know, you're paying a lot of money for a comic book, I want to see a little bit going on. I really like it. It feels very post-apocalyptic wasteland, which is what it's supposed to feel like. A lot of those movies where it's just a guy wandering around a desert for a really long time, and I feel like it captures the sense of this. This is much more action-y, much more plot-driven, because it's basically focusing on Bishop instead of Cable. I actually didn't feel like this even needed to be a special. I wish this was a double-sized issue of the series, because it felt like it fits in perfectly there in the continuity.
And probably people will treat it that way. It's just the number one.
What I haven't been liking about the series is obviously it's, you know...
There's a baby.
Yeah, it's all the stupid cliche of what happens when we take a tough guy and then give him a baby.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Will the tough guy be able to take care of a baby?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever that movie is, too.
Yeah. And so it was just like, it's been lame. It's been lame babysitting stuff. But what I liked about this one is they got Bishop involved, and they really did a cool twist at the end where, like, Bishop was, you know, spoiler obviously, he's trying to, you know, hunt this baby down and kill this freaking kid, but he ends up helping him out.
Kill his freaking baby.
Yeah, he's pretty upset about it. I like that. I thought that was a cool twist instead of just having the, oh, I just missed him. Oh, I was here, but then he wasn't. Oh.
Yeah, I don't understand time machines, but how do you break it only going one way?
The reverse. Like, you already said you don't understand time machines.
I love time travel stuff. I think this was a great issue as well. I really liked it a lot. One small tiny thing, which I thought was kind of funny, was that Bishop finds the diary that tells Cable's like life story or whatever, and he goes, "Oh, the last entry says Rocky Mountains 2276. Rest in peace, Cable. Whatever it says specifically." And from that, he goes to the place where Cable dies, and I'm like, Rocky Mountains 2276, that's enough. Like, if I said to you guys, meet me in Manhattan on Saturday. Like, what are the odds?
What do we do?
Each other? Yeah. Well, no, what I'm saying, what are the odds we run into each other? And that's one day and
pretty
one
good.
Island. Rocky Mountains are huge.
I don't know.
And a year is a long ass time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's right.
First, I would go to Midtown Comics, and if you weren't there, I would come here, and if you weren't here, then maybe I would go.
Well, if you weren't here, we'd be in Central Park.
Wait, what are we doing on Saturday?
We're doing so pick this up. Let's move on and talk about Invincible number 52.
Yeah. Wow.
So, do you like it? Justin, what do you think about this?
Change your review quickly?
No, I do not editorialize in that way. I think this, I don't get this. It's supposed to be a big new direction. It just seems very obvious. I don't know. I don't like it. I love this series.
It is
for so
a new
long.
Direction. His brother could be evil.
Jesus, you're screaming.
He could be evil.
How do you not know that's what I do?
Scream? I don't know. I was away from you for a while.
Hey, Justin, Pete could be evil.
No, spoiler. It just seems like, the brother, to tell you what happens in the issue a little bit, the brother kills a couple villains. His younger brother's kind of a sidekick.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I just don't.
He, like, rips them apart, not just kills them.
I know,
he's like,
so much
I had to do that. It was an accident. He's like drenched in blood.
So you like this because people were drenched in blood, right?
Well, that, but I just like the fact that they're really taking Invincible's world was pretty perfect. He had a girlfriend, things were going good. Now all of a sudden, like, you know, the people he's working for, he can't trust them. His own brother he can't trust now. So I feel like this is going in a different direction, and I kind of like it.
Here's my biggest problem with Invincible right now. I feel like I'm halfway between you guys, but most of the issues, including the 50th issue, feel like half an issue.
Yeah.
The point that they get to at the end of this issue, which I do really like a lot, and I do think it's a logical next step for the character that really pushes it forward, feels like it could come in the middle of an issue rather than the end of an issue. And the content itself feels like it takes about, 12 pages, however long it actually is. So I wish there was more going on, and I wish it was happening a little quicker. I know that sounds a little silly.
Especially, like, the first 35, 40 issues of the series, there was so much going on. Like, on one page, there were, like, three things a lot of times.
Yeah.
This thing took place in one location, another time, another location. And now it is. It's just one thing happens throughout the whole issue. So that may be why. And I feel like Kirkman is so busy now that maybe he doesn't have time to...
Yeah.
Create the complex storylines that he used to be.
You were commenting that he says in the back that he feels like the 50s are going to be the best run of the series ever.
Yeah.
And I do feel like that's possible, but maybe...
It's about issue 50, not the 50s as a time period.
Oh.
Yeah, Kirkman goes out on a limb and says doo-wop is the biggest musical movement.
He's a big fan of Grease.
Yeah.
They're doing Golden Age Invincible as well.
Are they?
No.
Oh. would you say pick this up?
Yes.
It's the age of the Invincible.
Exactly.
All
right. Let's move on to talk about X-Men Magneto Testament.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You like this a lot. Talk about it a little bit.
If Greg Pak was here right now, I would carry him around on my shoulders. He is...
I don't think that's all you would
do. Yeah, he would kiss you on the beard.
He is doing fantastic stuff. Just really great stuff. I've never been a big Magneto fan, and I just kind of wrote him off as a villain. But he does a great job of giving you some good background story, some really doing some great stuff, pushing some boundaries, taking things and doing it in a just a fantastic way that gets you on board. And the art and the writing, I can't say pick this up enough. It's just such a great comic.
Hold on, he's telling you can say it.
Yeah. Say it enough.
Enough.
Oh.
So,
that was a bit of a comment.
Has this Jewish Nazi thing always been in the background of my media?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it hasn't. It's never been brought to the forefront before.
I think it was.
Yeah. Basically, I mean, for those of you who don't know, there's been various interpretations, ways they've gone about it, but essentially. As you saw in the hit X-Men movies, Magneto was, as a kid, in a concentration camp and broke out of the concentration camp. And there is where he first discovered his magnetism powers. So this is showing, before that, what happens. Most likely including a little bit of that as well.
Which I love. It takes place as the Nazis are coming to power in Germany, and him and his family are Jewish, and he's at a private school, and it's the whole first issue is about him being an outsider and kind of doing something really well and then being punished for it. And it's great that it takes the story back, takes his origin back to that point, and we can see why maybe he became the person that he is. And it's really well written, and the art, as Pete said, is fantastic. This guy also did a Daredevil Marvel Knights series, which was great. It's awesome.
I just like the fact that, like, for his origin story, it's mainly just been like, Jewish, concentration camp, Nazis. You know, where this is really just doing a great job of like, no, this is seriously his origin story. Let's sit in it a little bit. Let's focus on it.
Now, how much do these things, like these stories like this, like how much money this kind of sympathy to Magneto, how does that impact? Does that positively impact the comics? Or does it, like, do the X-Men regular series?
Well, it's a very big thing now as opposed to, you know, Golden Age and Silver Age comics where it was very much, haha, I'm a villain, I'm going to take over the world. That, I don't know, I would say what? The 80s, 90s, something like that.
Yeah, Magneto, sometime in the, I mean, he was, when he first was created, very much just a villain. He was in the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and he wasn't being sarcastic, that's just what he meant. But it became a thing where they were like, well, he's not just evil, and he doesn't just want to take over the world from mutants, he has like a cause, and they have been for a long time, kind of bringing him more humanity.
Yeah, and he was a hero for a while.
Yeah,
having said that, like, it's not like if Wolverine were fighting him, he was going to be like, listen, man, I read that comic. Like, sorry you had such a hard childhood, but I have to stab you.
But what do people think? What the reader think? Absolutely, if they didn't address it, that Wolverine is anti-Semitic.
That happens. People get really crazy about Magneto sometimes. People get really possessive about him. They really like feel sympathetic towards him.
What I really like about this is, it's always been weird to me how Magneto and Xavier were really good friends, because Magneto has just always come off as a straight dick the entire time. So I was like, how are these guys friends? But by doing this, it kind of gives you a sheds a little light on him, and
because he had a terrible childhood, that makes it easier to be friends.
No, like. He's not a dick in this comic. So
have you never seen any of this stuff, the flashbacks where they show them like when they were friends and they were actually?
Yeah, I just didn't buy it. I feel like showing how he came up makes more sense. And I now going back and thinking about it, like, okay, I can understand why they would be friends now.
Because of this comic, the next dick I meet I'm gonna become friends with.
Wow. I'm that statement may be taken out of context.
This is very important. Let's go on and talk about epilogue number one. This is stupid.
Well, I was gonna say I read it earlier, but
that's bagged and boarded.
Can you do me a favor and like tell me what the hell happened in it? Because
okay,
I don't understand.
Well, here's the deal with the series. I'm gonna spoil it for you, right? They're being very secretive about it. You don't really know what's going on. By the end, this guy's a vampire and he kills everybody.
Yeah.
The end.
But also, but here's the twist: he can't be killed.
No. So he's a vampire. I already said that.
Oh, did you say vampire?
Yeah. No, but what about the part with the camping, and what about the part with
Well,
the
he went camping and he became a vampire.
Yeah. That's what happens when you go camping.
Donnelly, if you could, there's a great line that shows just how mature this comic deals with sex, for instance. When you find it, read it aloud. But this comic is, it's like Spawn. It's basically like a Spawn
right
now.
Yeah.
Here you go. Dramatic reading, please.
From here on?
Yes. Well, just that one, really.
Just that part. That feels good. Have you been practicing?
That's what the girl says to the guy during they're having sex.
Specifically in the married couple.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's been practicing with who exactly?
I think it's so weird. That
is
feels good.
Is it possible to be more turned on by someone after all these years?
Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal with Steve Niles is, because I feel like literally 50% of everything he writes is really good, and 50% is god-awful.
He wrote this on the back of a woman he was having sex with. And then he pitched it that way.
He held her up like this, and he was like, check this out.
It was right after she said, you need practice.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, don't pick that up.
Yeah, it's just, like, he calls together all these bad guys and is like, yeah, I've killed your friends. And they all just start shooting him, and he's just standing there like, you can't kill me. That's the comic.
You forget the part where they go camping.
Wait. So everybody doesn't like this? Why did you guys put this in the stack? Just
because it's...
Wait, but here's
a huge vetting process, I guess.
We get up at 6 a.m. this morning, in the coffee shop, where we pour through all of the diamond
books. And then we randomly select 7 books. And that's it for the stack!
Now, this comic is basically Spawn meets the Punisher.
We'll see.
Because that he bought.
Alright, it is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring up Booth back.
Audience question.
Only one person gave a question?
Yeah, that's right.
Not a very curious.
Well, good for them.
Yes, it is good for them.
What do you think of the fan/reader's response to Age of Century?
Oh, that's a good one.
Did you?
I really felt that the response was...
Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. Mixed bag.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Home run Donnelly. That's what they call him out in L.A.
Mixed bag refer to, because I feel like, never mind.
I don't know.
No, it's like when you reach your hand in, sometimes you pull out a candy bar, and sometimes it's like a
trap.
Yeah.
Who makes a bag of good things and bad things?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's life.
Good things and bad.
That's life.
A mixed bag is a delicious pick a mix that I've made.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to be like, well, I'll put in some, you know, rat traps.
Let me give this to you. You sit at home and make up little bags of snacks.
I have tubes of candy all over my apartment.
Let me tell you something. A bag full of candy is called what?
A goodie bag.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You really nailed it.
Yeah.
Good night. Because I call them mixed bags.
So
no,
why change the goodie bag to a baddie bag? What's
well,
the point?
Anyway, we feel that the Age of Century will be a goodie bag or a mixed bag.
It'll be a goodie bag. But the response hopefully will be awesome as well. Realistically, not everybody's going to buy it, which is a problem because they all should.
Nice.
It's going to be great. The people who are into it are going to love it as much as I do.
What is
it? Almost impossible.
You can't separate yourself from your own involvement in this book. That's
I am
truth.
Involved in this book.
That's
how
what
can I
saying.
Separate myself from that?
Turn in your pen. You're a real agent.
Yeah, the Sentry's not really the most popular character.
That's true. That is true. And that,
or
we probably will have to overcome a bit of that. Because
yeah,
there
saying
are people
he's
who
not
are
the most
really
popular character
him.
Is a little bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah.
An understatement.
Sometimes, yeah, you do.
It's a mixed bag.
Going
it applies here, too. It's the perfect phrase.
Going online after the announcement was made, there were definitely people who were like, oh, the Sentry has to die. Why doesn't they just erase him from existence? It's the worst idea ever. But there are people who are like, oh, you know, Silver Age stories? That sounds like a lot of fun. And those are the people who are going to be pleasantly surprised because they're right.
So
that
you're saying the response is like a variety suitcase.
Exactly.
Who asked that question?
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, guess what you win, my friend? You get...
Ooh.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
This is
a journal. Do you want to describe
this? Yes, this is a print that Dave Bullock, who does the covers for Age of the Century, made up for Comic-Con. It's signed by Dave Bullock, by Paul Tobin, Jeff Parker, Colleen Coover, Nick Dragata, and Dave Bullock. I said Dave Bullock. Okay, it's signed by all of them.
Wow.
Lots of people involved in the comic.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
The lesson here is ask a question. Audience?
Then
we had to give it to the camera.
Was that the only audience question?
Sorry.
Yeah. All right, that's it for audience questions.
Yeah!
Okay, it is time for our next section.
Yeah, I have some business to attend to.
Oh, okay. Well
thanks for dropping by.
Yes. I hope my appearance was both good, but then this awkward ending kind of makes it
a mixed bag.
Yeah!
To Los Angeles with you. Well, he is literally actually not coming back, just so you guys know.
He's like the Lone Ranger. You know?
Yeah.
Off into the sunset.
Riding off into the exit door. Okay, let's move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Woo! First thing we're going to talk about is All-Star Batman and Robin number 10. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but the series by Frank Miller and Jim Lee, the most recent issue that was supposed to come out this past Wednesday was burned to the ground because there's little black bars over the curse words in the comic book, and normally they've been fine. However, they ended up printing it incorrectly so that the color of the type and the color of the black bars were a different color of black, so you could still read people yelling after Batgirl, "I'm going to get you, you cunt." I didn't make that up.
Yeah, that's a word that people don't like to read.
Or hear in live theater situation.
You should have put a black bar over your mouth.
Yes, I should have. In any case, what do you guys think about this? There was a lot of hubbub about it this week.
I was just like really surprised that it got to the comic book stores, and then the comic book stores weren't allowed to give them out, weren't allowed to sell them. And I was just like, as a comic book, I wanted one because I was like, what? Oh, they're swearing?
How much?
Did you get one?
No, I couldn't.
They're selling on eBay for over $100.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because apparently some got out. I mean, I'm not, again, I work at Marvel, not DC, so I don't know what the deal is, but I read about it on the internet and on Lying in the Gutters, and they were saying, people are selling them, and there doesn't seem to be any repercussions, which I don't understand. If DC says destroy them, and then people are going, well, I didn't destroy mine, I'm just going to sell them for lots of money. I'm surprised that they're like, okay.
Yeah. Well, do you think it's a press thing? Do you think it's to get attention from the comic book?
I mean, that's in...
But the comic has been selling really well, though.
But DC books across the board. Also, though, I read they changed a scene where Batgirl kicks some people in the crotch.
No. Grabs them.
Oh, grabs them in the crotch.
Yeah.
They changed it to her kicking them or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
They just erased her fingertips.
Nice. Makes sense.
In any case, my big question is, who cares?
Well,
who really cares?
If you're a kid, I mean, parents, obviously. Parent sees their kid, see you next Tuesday, written across it, they're going to be like, yeah, yikes. But a kid reading that book anyway, like, it's all, like, this horrible violence and, like, misogyny and all this. Like, it's not a great comic for a kid anyway.
Yeah, I got to say, it makes sense that they want to publish, but I'm more surprised that they're okay with it with the black bars. It's still pretty extreme. And Batman is one of their biggest icons, and you know what I mean? And kids love him. So to put out such an extreme comic with a character that kids love so much. I mean, and I understand it's marked differently, but at the same time, it's like, you could do Scooby-Doo for kids, and then the one where he's humping everybody. It's like, yeah, but you don't do that. You don't do that, you see? Because it's dangerous.
I wouldn't want to see that.
Good.
We should get him to pull back Final Crisis and make it better.
Nice.
Let's
move on. Talk about Spider-Man 4 and 5. I know you guys discussed this a little bit last week, but
sure did.
But I don't know what happened. So Tobey Maguire, it was just announced, is going to get $50 million to star in Spider-Man 4 and 5. The deal is he's going to come back for the movies. They're going to shoot over the course of 6 months, back to back. He is not going to have to work in the mornings or at night. So he can spend time with his daughter.
So he's not
going to
work?
Or during the midday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's 2 hours during the day when he's going to get to work, but he gets a lunch break.
Yeah. Does that bother you?
Well, what do you guys think about this?
I mean, he can do it. Like, he has they can't make those movies without him. And have
you
them,
think so?
And have them make the money that they have. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is that with the Batman movies, they've had all those different Batmans, but at the same time, a lot of the times when they were changing, they were trying to divorce themselves from the earlier ones. They'd be like, we changed Batman, but that's because it's all different. Whereas they don't want to do that with Spider-Man. They want to say it's
They going. Should. The last Spider-Man one sucked.
Like, blows.
But, it's like another Pete spoke up in the crowd. but, I mean, the third one, the writing was... and a lot
well,
of
they tried to do too much. It was just
yeah, and a lot of it came from the studio. Rumor has it that they were forcing the Venom plot in there when the story was supposed to be the Sandman.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Raimi has always said before he did Spider-Man 3 and afterwards, like, I'm not that into Venom. And they just were like, no, please do Venom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, good news for you is they're probably going to have the Lizard as the villain.
He's awesome.
They should. They've been freaking teasing us about it.
Yeah, they've been teasing
you yelled him. At Dylan Baker about it.
Right? Yeah, I did.
You yelled at Dylan Baker?
Yeah.
That's the actor that plays Kurt Connors.
I was just telling him, I was yelling with him. He wasn't yelling, but I was like, dude, you've been robbed in every fucking one of these movies.
And then Pete was escorted off the Black Harbor.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Let's move on to something else, actually. Tonight, as the show goes on, and please don't leave quite yet, but Marvel is showing ads on ESPN2 for Embrace Change, which is part of the initiative for Secret Invasion and also what is happening after Secret Invasion. This is happening, of course, during the Minor League Championships, which is very exciting. Baseball.
Surprise. That must be where the rest of the crowd is.
Well,
yeah.
Do you want to turn down the lights a little bit? Just show people this ad really quickly.
Oh, you get to see it. Good.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not the video, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yeah. But this is generally what they look like. Okay, bring the lights back.
It's nice.
But it's
they
cool.
They haven't shot yet. It's on right now.
That nerds get commercials now. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a very good move on Marvel's part to reach out to audiences other than, you know, we've talked a lot about what DC is doing wrong, and I think what they're doing wrong is they are writing comic books for people who are fans of DC.
Right.
And that's it. And this, at least, is trying to reach out to people who are not necessarily fans of Marvel or even comic books.
Yeah.
But the weird part is they are doing it on ESPN2. Like, what the...
Well, but it's the minor league.
That's what they can afford.
Yeah, but I'm not going to watch... Oh, okay. Well, I mean, there's got... I mean, put on G4 or something... You know, I mean, there's got to be other... I'm just surprised, like, putting on a sports network, you know, for comic book people, that's just, it seems like the wrong option.
Well, but I mean, it's the minor league World Series, is that what you said?
Yeah.
So it's like...
There was a minor league World Series.
What's that?
There was a minor league World Series.
There's a minor world.
That's the cheaper, that's a cheaper...
That's where I advertise for our show.
Yeah. Yeah. Embrace us is your ad.
Yeah, totally. It seems to be working well so far. Let's
move
on.
I think those ads are so creepy.
Yeah. What were you saying? You can't.
I work on some of the Marvel Adventures books, and we were just like, these ads are a little too creepy to put in the kids' books. We're not going to put them in there. They're just too freaky, and they're just weird. I mean, They're supposed to make you go like, what the?
Yeah.
We don't want our kids to do that. The ice cream one?
Yeah, well, the one where it's like three kids and they're all eating ice cream, and then you see that
one of them is a Skrull.
Yeah. A dirty Skrull is.
Too bad he's dead. All right, next thing. Last thing we're going to talk about in the Week in Geek, we're actually going to show you a movie trailer. So, lights are going down. Check it out.
Don't be afraid of the dark.
Nice.
When you are afraid, it's difficult to breathe. It is difficult to move. It is difficult to speak. But it is easy to panic. Of our time comes a film that reinvents the meaning of terror. journey into the unknown.
Novels and the graphic arts in general are no longer becoming dirty words?
Definitely not. I mean, it's a big thing now. It's the next thing.
Well, plus Persepolis did such a great job. The animation reminds me of that a little bit.
It'll draw a lot of comparisons.
Yeah. I mean, just having the black and white and the stills like moving and stuff is such a cool thing to watch.
Yeah,
and it is creepier than. A regular horror movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I definitely think, as we go forward, it seems like comics like this, unfortunately, aren't picking up that much. I mean, by which I mean monthly comics.
Epilogue.
The epilogue's not picking up that much either, but I meant monthly comics don't seem like they're picking up tons of new readers, but the book market for trades and stuff, it's doing really well, it seems like. And this sort of thing, this movie looks awesome. I really want to see it. I like horror movies. I've never seen that before. That's terrific. It just raises awareness. I mean, people will probably see that and then go check out, Black Hole or whatnot, at the very least, if not other stuff.
Yeah. Or they'll finish a popcorn and leave the movie theater.
And then go to sleep forever.
All right, that's it for the week of geek. Yeah! It is time for our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete Page.
Well, this is the trivia portion of the show, and this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We give you an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of gifts to Midtown Comics. So who would like the chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. $25 free. Raising the hand will happen. You, why don't you come on down? What is your name?
Hi, I'm Rocky.
Rocky, audience? Audience Rocky. So
is
this
your first time coming to the show, man?
Total virgin.
All right.
Oh,
whoa, hey there. So this gift card could be yours.
Ah.
So today's trivia is on the age of the century. Did I say that right?
You did.
All right. Eat it, Zelvin. there's some fun facts. About the age of the century. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three answers, then pick the correct one. If you get all three right, you will get the gift card. Here we go!
Right on cue.
What does the century do for a living during his day job under his secret identity? Is it A, investigates entries for the Excelsior Encyclopedia? Is it B, investigates crimes and fights evildoers? Or is it C, is he a chimney sweep? So it is either A, name-dropping Excelsior, or B, a crime fighter, which he can't do that for a secret identity because he's a century. That's my...
I'm going to go with A.
She is correct! One for one. Here we go. And the second issue. Oh, the second issue reveals there is a female version of the century.
Ooh.
Is she called A, Lady Century, B, the Centress, or C, TNA Girl? So it's either A, Lady Century, or B, the Centress.
I'm gonna go with B.
Correct! Yeah. Yeah.
What happened to your body when you said that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow.
Which of the following famous people does not appear in issues 1 through 4 in the new series, The Age of the Century? Is it A, Quicksilver, B, Truman Capote, or C, Al Green? Wow, this is a tough one. Here we go. It's either A, Quicksilver. Come on. B, B. Truman Capote or C. Al Green?
B.
Yeah! Nice work! Gift card for you, $25.
And as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
I really like the new Transformers series, All Hail Megatron. Really well done. The art is fantastic. It's been very, it's been kind of a sneaky, enjoyable one.
I really like the covers they've been doing.
Yeah.
Like the Russian constructivism.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Superman Kryptonite, the hardcover, the series that kicked off Superman Confidential, if you remember.
Yeah.
It's coming out in hardcover. Also, All-Star Superman number 12 is coming out.
Ooh.
Which is the
Wait,
last...
you're only supposed to name one. What's going on?
The one is a hardcover and softcover. It's the last issue of the series.
Well, I was going to say All-Star Superman, but instead I'll say the Buffy the Vampire Slayer Conversations with Dead People Ouija board is coming out tomorrow. What fun.
Bring it in next time.
Are you actually going to
get that?
I don't have that kind of money.
Okay. Yeah. I think you do.
Well, you know,
I do.
There's a book coming out tomorrow called The Age of the Century.
Really?
Boo!
You've
somehow.
It's listed here as Age of Century.
They are only, just because they're the only comics distributor in the country doesn't mean they're always right. Show the if you. I gave you a copy earlier. You could show the cover.
I tore it up and threw it out.
Damn it! All right. Well, in addition to that, Amazing Spider-Man is a book I don't work on, and again, I love it so.
And what else do you have coming up that people should keep their eye out for?
I think next week is the Scar Son of Hulk special. Scar Son of Hulk presents Savage World of Scar, which is a really fun special, I think, that Greg Pak really kicked ass on and had four different artists who all did a really excellent job.
Yeah. As a special skull, it's really great.
I have a question. You love Greg Pak.
Yeah.
You love Greg Pak.
Well,
Greg Pak has similar facial hair to both of you.
No.
Here's what I think. He kissed you with his facial hair, causing yours to flourish and yours when he kissed you.
Wow.
So are you hoping that he will kiss you and you'll finally be able to grow?
Finally!
Next week we are very excited to have Elliot Kalan from The Daily Show. He'll be here. That should be very cool. Also, you can check us out every day or almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Couple of people we want to thank. Join in for me and I'm not here anymore. Replacement boot band. Most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you so much.
Ooh, the fade out.
Thank you for the artwork. I was so surprised. I was like, I never wanted anything for my
pretend you don't know it.
I'm not very well versed in comic books, but I had a question about canonicity. So, for example, with